Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting freedom, peace, health, wellness, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of this station nor its management.
What have we made of this world? Every way, every turn, it's a battle. There's a war going on between men and the birds, beasts, and cattle.
In this episode, we're celebrating World Vegan Day, a continuation of my interview with artist Jeff Francis. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. We're very fortunate to be joined by artist Jeff Francis. Jeff has been a vegan for 52 years.
Yeah, well, the personal progression for me in terms of understanding how veganism and the things you eat affects the whole of the world was, I started out clearly, compassion for animals, always being moved by the plight of animals. And then going through, I became aware of the link between third world hunger and animal farming. And I set up a thing in about 1980 called Enough, which was the world after Gandhi's, the world has enough for everyone's need, but not for greed. And at that time, what was it? It must have been 1980. Yep, there was a period of great famine in Ethiopia, and yet what was happening was that grain was being imported from Ethiopia to feed cattle. The animal farmers made a bit, the farmers in England certainly made a big thing about they were going to send grain out to Ethiopia, but in fact what they were sending was cattle feed, and the proportion was very, very low in relationship to what had been imported. And not long after was when Band-Aid came about, the Band-Aid concerts, and that was actually set up by someone that I knew from the music business from my time in having the record shops in the 70s.
We're listening to artist Jeff Francis, who's been a vegan for 52 years. He has a podcast called 50 Year Vegan for the Love of All Things, and here's a snippet of it. This is part of his interview with filmmaker Chris Hines, who's producing a documentary about animal rights, veganism, and music.
Welcome to the 50 Year Vegan series of podcasts. In this first of six interviews, artist and author Jeff Francis talks to world expert on animal rights music, Chris Hines.
Obviously, I've learned more about animal rights. I became a vegan 6 years ago, and right. Since then, I've been trying to kind of educate people on it. I've done university and college talks on the subject of veganism, as well as another documentary I'm going to make after this, which is going to be about the pet trade. So I'm quite passionate about that side. And then I just kept noticing, because I ran a music magazine for quite a number of years, and I kept noticing there was, you know, a lot of band members that were vegan and stuff. And I thought, oh, you know, let's have a chat with them, find out their stories, could be quite interesting.
Yeah.
And then it just went crazy. And next thing I know, I've got this donor in Toronto has given us a load of money to fly to LA, go and interview Moby and all these people. And we've got probably about 120 people involved in the project from all genres, going all the way back to, you know, from late 70s, yeah, people like Crass and stuff, all the way up to modern day, you know, Moby, Kat Von D, the Veronicas, Gabrielle Aplin, Fallout Boy, Earth Crisis. So it's been crazy. And now, the idea is we'd like to try and pitch it to Netflix, because hopefully it'll be an original idea. The idea is we're going to document the history of animal rights within music.
Right.
And then I actually go with the musicians to see all of this for myself. So I've got me going to a slaughterhouse with Moby. I'm going into factory farms with some famous DJs. So it's just going to give people an all-round kind of knowledge about animal rights, how its music is intertwined with it, you know, how they've both affected each other, animal rights and music, in the hope that by the end of it, people might go, hey, this is a subject that's worth my time and, you know, something that I should think about.
That's, you know, you're entirely in line with my thinking all the way through. So that's...
Yeah, it's exactly that. You know, I thought if I could get influenced by a musician, maybe someone else could. And if you know, and it's an easy watch. One thing I've been very aware of is there's no easy film to give people to teach them about the ethics of animal rights. They're all full of slaughterhouse footage from start to finish, and getting people to sit down for an hour and watch that is very difficult. But getting someone to go, do you want to sit down and watch a music documentary about animal rights with all these people you like in it, is a lot more accessible. And obviously, we're still going to have that footage intertwined within it, but it's not going to be back-to-back slaughterhouse footage. It's going to be a lot more accessible. And I'm hoping that, maybe people will resonate with it. I mean, that's all I can hope for.
I'm sure they will. Have you been in touch with Danny Howells at all?
Oh, Danny's a huge part of this film. Huge part. Good. Yeah, he's the DJ that we went into the factory farm with.
Great, yeah. Well, he's a special man.
Oh, I love him. He's one of my favourite people.
Election. I've got to tell you, he's got my recollection. Because we were going to do something together, and it never happened. He was always busy. He was touring in Brazil, or he was doing this or that. But when you speak to him, you do give him my love.
Oh, I will do. I speak to Danny all the time. Like, I consider Danny a very close friend of mine, and he's been an absolute star with this film. He's someone that we're definitely going to highlight. We went to the Animal Rights March with him, so we got all footage of him doing that. We've got him doing street outreach. We went to the factory farms with him. One of the most kind-hearted guys I've ever met.
Yeah.
Like, lovely
man. Man, and a great exponent of his trade as well.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, really great. Yeah, but I'll definitely tell him I had a chat with you. It's funny, Danny's funny though, because he knows we've been making this film for so long, and he forgets about all these people that he could have told me about you years ago, but he just doesn't. He forgets, and then I'll be like, Danny, why didn't you tell me about this? Like, we went to the Animal Rights March, and then I was like, oh, what are you up to, Danny? He goes, oh yeah, I'm playing in Berlin next week. They're doing a night with a whole like six vegan DJs, like the first ever vegan DJ night. And I was like, why didn't you tell me? Like, so we had to book like last minute flights to go to Berlin to go and film this event. And I was like, this is exactly what we need. And he's always so busy, he just forgets.
I know. The length of time he was going to do something with the record collection I gave him, and then to he was going to get the records back to me, and he never did. So he's got all my animal rights stuff. So there you go.
I'll tell him then. I'll tell him he needs to send them back.
And a lot of other animal stuff, because I thought we could do something really interesting in mixing albums that were environmental as well as animal rights.
I'll give him a poke and we can get that project moving.
Give him a poke,
That was the first part of Chris Hines talking to Jeff Francis. The second part, where they talk about the origins of Animus and Animal Line, is available now on 50-Year Vegan Podcasts.
Much thanks to Jeff Francis for sharing that clip with us. You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Mylene Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. And now we're continuing my interview with Jeff Francis. He joined us from Portugal via Skype in Portugal. And in this section, we're talking about how the vegan movement in recent years, especially since 2020, has been infiltrated and co-opted to take away the focus of animal liberation and to focus on food and health. And here's a little bit more of our conversation on that note.
That's an important aspect, but it seems to be an aspect that is fixed upon more, perhaps, than the compassion, not amongst the sort of people that you're dealing with, but it's certainly it's become very, very food. The food is so good, of course, that it's everything's become a bit more food orientated than the underlying compassion. But I don't think we need to be negative about that. It's just, it's there and it's out into the great wide world. And it's a message that is being obviously heavily resisted by people who have vested interests in it all. But it's one that hopefully will break through. There's actually, there was a line, one of the final lines of What No Meat, as you will know, is, and you wonder why the hell there are wars, when in truth all the answers are yours. And if the world could come together and have as its core the love and compassion for all things, then the wars wouldn't happen. They just couldn't happen. There's a lovely saying from George Bernard Shaw, which is, while we're still the living graves of other forms of life, there will be wars. And look what we're reaping at the moment. The lack of compassion. Humanity, if ever it existed, has been the first casualty of the war that's going on now. But I do believe that at the core of the possibility of turning the human world around would be the love of animals.
So wonderful. So very inspiring also. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts. We're joined by Jeff Francis. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Jeff, the lyricist. What? No meat?
What have we made of this world? Every way, every turn, it's a battle. There's a war going on between men and the bird species cattle. The front line is there in your eyes. Don't do all of the things you despise, but all you can change it. Because they're there on their eyes, and yet we seem so nice. To the man who kills with no need, if he realizes on what he feeds, oh yes,
he will change it.
About your lyrics and your work with producing What? No Meat?
that was really nice experience. And Ray and Captain Sensible and I became good friends for a good long while. And he even played the Isle of Wight Festival for me in 1990, which I had to organise. The label Animus was another collaboration that came together in 1979 with Hilly Bevan and Anthony Lawrence, who still do the magazine for PETA, for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. And we created a thing called Animus, there are two aspects to animus. One is that it means actuating feeling. And the other thing is that it is the male side of the complementary, the anima and the animus, which is Jung's concept of the way the truly integrated human being, having both the male and the female, is formed. And interestingly, the thing I set up for Linda, Carla and Rita, called Animal Line, which is anima and line. So that's the female side. And we had the balance there. So we had animus and we had anima. So it was all integrated together. And we created badges. Might sound simple, but it was a time when the animal rights movement, certainly in England, was burgeoning. It was 1979, 1980. And we really thought we made a lot of changes. There were all sorts of exciting things happened. There was the animals film that came through. And all sorts of different aspects were being brought forward. And we thought we'd won the fur campaign. We thought we'd won all sorts of things. But, you know, what happens is the establishment just stays there and then they come back again. But we created four badges, one of which was Meat is Murder. And we sold thousands of these. All the money that was ever made on them was given away to various small animal causes, like putting rats in for hedgehogs so that they could get out of cattle grids and things like that. Really nice, basic things. And we ended up creating 82 badges, which people used to wear. And I always said they were like Zen sayings. If you were going to wear an animus badge, you needed to know what it meant, what the philosophy was behind it. It was quite a force amongst the animal rights movement in the UK, and I certainly things went abroad as well. And I think the whole thing was finally shipped out to someone in Germany to continue with it. But that was like the core of all the that part of the movement. But that led on. Hilly and Anthony went off and did a tour of the States to see what was happening there. And one of the people they met was Ingrid Newkirk, who was working out of her living room. Well, you know what's happened since then. I mean, such a powerful influence in the animal world. I know they have detractors at the time, but I still have some contact with Ingrid, and I'm hoping that we're going to be able to do something on the honey aspect, because they certainly do cover lots and lots of aspects that other people maybe don't think about. I can't overplay the influence that I believe Hilly and Anthony had throughout the whole movement. You know, they went off and did this tour of the States, came back with all these ideas, and then got involved with the British Union for the Abolition of Vivisection and did some stunning, stunning work. And then they did the Animal's Diary as well, all of which were influential, because at the time, I mean, now it's quite widespread. But at the time, as an individual, you might feel quite isolated having these feelings about animals.
Thank you, Jeff. Love hearing your stories and the past experiences of all the courageous, compassionate vegans such as you and your teammates in all the different types of activism. It's so important. And as a World Peace Diet facilitator myself, one of the major components is making that connection, which you mentioned, with your several things, but especially your lyrics in What No Meat about war. And so that's a big part of the vegan message, that for humanity to experience freedom and justice and peace, animal liberation is necessary. It's really common sense when we think about it, the golden rule, and as we sow, we reap, the quantum physics, what goes around comes around.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it does. No, I think that's critical. Well, the verses in What No Meat deal with all those aspects that we've just been speaking about, you know, with the health and everything, all the positives of. But the opening line, of course, I wrote, you know, there's a war going on between man, the beast, and the cattle.
And I'm also happy that you mentioned the laboratory animals, because as I see it, the violence and the slavery and the exploitation going on in the pharmaceutical and biomedical and, of course, chemical and military laboratories is just as destructive on a quantum level as the farmed animals and, you know, the cattle ranching, et cetera, that, you know, I'm just so heartbroken that the laboratory animals, especially since the scenario of 2020, that the laboratory animals have been thrown under the bus and ignored by almost everybody, including the animal rights movement, from what I see.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was another one we thought we'd won in the 80s. And, you know, but as I said, the establishment just sits there, goes underground to a degree. You don't hear of all the stuff they've gotten up to. They stop challenging you, although they did get some really horrendous people on site to be their spokesman. But, you know, disinformation is what all wars are about, isn't it? And it is, you know, it's a war in inverted commas. I mean, it's not on human terms, but on animal terms, the slaughter is huge. But we, you know, we did think we were going to get through and stop all these things. But as I understand it, animal testing is huge now in a way that it never was before. It's grown exponentially. And there's no need for it when there's so many alternatives.
I know, it's overwhelming. And so that's why I think it's so important to be able to be connected with powerful activists such as you. Otherwise, it'd just be really easy to just think, what do we do? But we just got to keep at it.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I'm putting together a songbook for Darren and I. And as I say, there's over 200 sets of lyrics. And I was just going through one today, which is all about that, just the way that the chemical industry require all these things to satiate their greed, basically. But they draw people in. It's interesting. During the 80s, there was a whole set of, there was a thing called the Research Defense Society, right? And they were basically spokesmen, lobbyists for the pharmaceutical industry. And we know how huge the pharmaceutical industry has grown, and it permeates everywhere. And they had a poster of a dog, if I remember correctly, a dog. And it and they'd also do one of a rat, and they said, "Well, the question was, it's your dog or your baby, or it's a rat or your baby." That was what they were saying. And there was a great philosopher who I believe is still around, and you'll have to forgive me because it's a senior moment. And you might be able to give me his name, who answered that very readily by saying, no, it might be, you're saying it's a rat or your baby. But in fact, it will get to the point where it's your neighbour's baby or yours. And that's the way that that was properly answered. And this man is so famous, and I can't think of his name. Anyway, it'll probably pop into my head when we've finished, and I'll ring you back with it if I can. Oh, dear. Right.
Is it Tom Reagan?
Tom Reagan. That's the boy. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Tom Reagan said. He was certainly excellent, but very influential.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Jeff Francis, for all you do, and thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Oh, you're so welcome, and thank you for being there and putting this stuff out.
I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. Please join us again next week. At the same time, you can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management.
Did you drop me on my head? Was it damage when I fell down the stairs? 'Cause there's something I can't get my time little mind around. How come only I see the fear and pain in their eyes? See the value of their life comparable to yours and mine?
Let's go out with Dominion by Vegan Queen V. This is Marlene wishing you a good day. This night of All Hallows Eve, Halloween, let's work together to stop the horror and the violence and the suffering. Let's work together to bring abundance and joy for all. World Vegan Day, November 1st, freedom and liberation and more. Check out the Abolition Amendment in the United States, a proposed amendment to end all slavery. Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Much thanks to the vegan musicians, and much thanks to my guest, Jeff Francis.